So hey there and hello. Today we are going to be talking all about selflessness and why this supposed virtue might be getting in the way of your movement practice and feeling good in that beautiful body of yours. So stay tuned.
Hi, and welcome to the Movement and Mindfulness Podcast with me, Erica Webb of Erica Webb Yoga and Pilates. In this podcast, I, along with my guests, will explore what it means to move as an act of self-kindness and self-discovery. We'll look at the ways movement, mindset, and mindfulness support us to be and do the things we so desire in the world. I truly believe that movement has the ability to expand our capacity to show up for the things that are important to us. And I'm here to help you embrace the idea of movement as a powerful tool for wellness, rather than just another thing you think you should be doing. I'm thrilled you're here. Let's do this.
So hello and welcome to episode 101 of the Movement and Mindfulness Podcast. I'm Erica, thrilled to have you with me and really excited actually to talk about this topic today, which is all about selflessness. Now, this word is held up as a virtue, but we're going to break that down today because I think it's getting in the way of a lot of our desires to actually feel good and to move well and to have these habits around movement that actually support us. So we're going to dive into all of that. But before we do, I just want to talk a little bit about an in-person workshop that I am running in June. So depending on when you're listening to this, if you're listening to this prior to the end of May, which means you're listening to it pretty quickly after it comes out, I am running an in-person workshop all about movement as an act of self-kindness. It's on Saturday, the 5th of June, 2021 in Blackburn, which is a suburb of Melbourne, Australia. So if you are a local, I would love to see you there. I'm going to pop the details for how to find more information and book your spot for that workshop in the show notes. If you're not local, we're going to dive into the topic of the podcast in just a sec. But with that workshop, really just going to be a really lovely opportunity to talk about a lot of the things that, you know, underpin my approach to movement. And we're going to go through a really delicious practice as well, incorporating somatic exercise and the very best of yoga and Pilates and the way that these can all merge into a beautiful movement practice. So if you're interested in that, check out the link in the show notes. But for now, let's dive back into the topic for today, which is selflessness. Now, it wasn't too many days ago that it was Mother's Day. In some parts of the world anyway, I think, you know, a few parts. I think that's one that shares its way around the globe. But one of the things that I saw and one of the things that I've seen even since in different contexts is women, not even necessarily people, because I've seen this directed at men as well. And I think it's just a human experience. The virtue, supposed virtue of selflessness being awarded to people for, you know, the way that they look after and care for other people. And I did a post about this on Instagram not too long ago as well, because it really kind of pushed my buttons. It really made me feel some kind of way about how we use this word and how damaging it can actually be. Because I think that it's a virtue that many of us still believe is virtuous. But it's something that can stop us before we even begin when it comes to feeling well in our body. So let's talk a little bit about the definition of selflessness. If you Google that, it's going to tell you that it means being concerned more with the needs and wishes of others than with one's own. It is literally the opposite definition to selfishness. And there's no doubt that, you know, being called selfish has a negative connotation for most of us. And so it makes sense that if we've decided that being selfish is negative, then the opposite of that is, you know, apparently a virtue. But when I read that definition, concerned more with the needs and wishes of others than with one's own, that makes me feel yuck. I mean, I'd love to know how it makes you feel. It makes me feel almost resentful before I've even been asked to do anything, right? But there is this kind of idea out there in the world, in our kind of like cultural narrative, I suppose, that being selflessness is something to aspire to. And yet, why is this problematic? If we truly believe that we need to be selfless in order to be worthy, in order to be good mothers, good humans, good people, we will always, always put everything for everyone else before ourselves, whether we actually want to or not, because we want to be, quote unquote, good. If we are always putting everybody else's needs before our own, we will never get to our own needs, because like everybody else's needs are endless. Really. I have two kids. Their needs are endless. If I never put my own needs above theirs, I would not be okay. And I want to kind of rewind a little bit in this. I used to do this. I was an incredibly selfless mother when my kids were little. They're still little, but like really little. When my kids were babies, so I have two boys and they're 2 years apart. So when I had a two-year-old, I had a newborn. And I was the definition of selfless. And I was utterly miserable. I hated myself. I didn't think I was doing a good enough job, even though I was doing literally everything that I could possibly do. I was incredibly resentful. I was worn out, used up, had nothing to give. So the selflessness was, you know, was empty in some ways because I really had nothing to give. There was nothing there. There was nothing left. So when I kind of have this reaction to this idea of being selfless, it comes from this sort of fairly genuine lived place of like I've done that and it doesn't work. I think that sometimes we tell ourselves that that's what we want. We want to be selfless because, you know, to be the opposite of that, to be selfish feels also not great, right? We don't want to be called selfish and yet we want to feel good. We want to have a good relationship with ourselves, with our body. We want to be able to get on top of the tension and the pain and the discomfort and the niggles that tend to kind of like knock on our door. We really can't do that. We can't get on top of those things, which I don't even love that term, but we can't be in a place to sort of deal with that if we're trying to be selfless, because you don't have a place on the list. You don't have a place on the to-do list if you are selfless. You're never on the list. So this is really problematic because, you know, as a movement teacher, and as a movement teacher who really focuses on helping people to shift out of tension habits, right? So that's kind of like my big thing, I guess, is I want to help people. And what I do help people with is shifting out of this kind of chronic tension. One of the things that stops people from doing that is that they don't have enough time. You're never going to have enough time if everybody else is more important than you. It just doesn't work. Because like I said before, if we, like, everybody else's needs are endless. Your needs are endless. So are everybody else's. And so, you know, I want to sort of segue a little bit here and say that this is not about all or nothing, right? We talk about this too in terms of it's fine to be a bit of both, right? Like it's fine to help other people, but not at the detriment to yourself. Equally, we don't want to be so completely absorbed in our own needs that we like don't feed our children, obviously, right? So this is not like, it's not 0 to 100. It's not all or nothing. It's not black and white. There is space for both, right? But I think that the fact that we still use the word selfless as a compliment is very problematic. It's very, very hard to do something that makes you feel like you're not part of your group or your culture or your, you know, where you feel safe. And so if everybody's telling you that to be selfless is to be good and you're like, but that's making me feel bad, it's going to be hard to do the opposite because you don't want to kind of like break out of the mold of what we've been told is right. And so we might be like experiencing a bit of this sort of dissonance of like, but hang on, I'm told this is good. And yet I feel bad. So am I wrong? Like, we tend to not always question the structure that's created this. We intend kind of like instead kind of question like, did I screw up? Did I read that wrong? Is my experience just not valid? Like, is it different? Does everybody else feel good about this? That's what I used to do. I used to look at everyone else and think, why do they look so happy? How are they doing this and not feeling resentful and awful and exhausted and, you know, on and on and on goes the list. So I think the first thing here is to like get that it's tricky when there is a structure in place, I suppose, that tells us that this is a good thing. But if you, like me, want to feel good, you have to be on the list. Because if you're not on your own list, like, you know, nobody else is sort of tasked with that job, right? So this is the tricky thing. We're told in the same breath that we need to be selfless and that we're responsible for ourselves. So you got to look after yourself. But be selfless while you look after yourself, please. It's literally impossible. We can't, right? So where do we go with this, right? Like this is, it's such an interesting concept because sometimes we don't even realize that we're buying into this narrative, that we're buying into this language that's being offered up. So if it is true that we want to feel good, in our bodies, that we want to feel good in ourselves, that we want to have a positive relationship with ourselves, then we can't be selfless. So we have to question, do we actually buy into the belief that is a virtue? How does it actually feel? You know, like I said, to me, it played out to literally everyone's detriment, not just mine. I felt awful. I hated myself. But that affected everyone. That affected my kids. That affected my husband. That affected my friendships. That affected everything. So is it true that it's a virtue? What does the evidence show us? I think the really interesting thing with that is that, you know, like I said before, we're sort of told in the same breath, be selfless and yet look after yourself. But if we believe that being selfless is the pinnacle, right, like the thing that we aspire to, then even if you try to look after yourself, it's almost like we've blocked our ability for that self-care or that self-kindness to have an impact because we feel guilty when we're trying to look after ourselves because we should be being selfless and other people need things while we're busy looking after ourselves. So do you see how this is kind of like, I'm waving my arms around here, but you can't see, but do you see how this is sort of like very circular in how it affects us? It's really quite fascinating. So I don't want to just like talk all about how bad it is. I feel like I've done that for quite a few minutes at this point. But I really want to kind of raise the conversation, I guess, to be like, is this what we want? Is this what we want to be buying into? Because you might be sitting there thinking, I want a yoga practice. I want a movement practice because I feel like that is going to be one of the things that's going to support me to not feel run down, worn out, resentful, etc. But in order for that to be a viable option, we can't believe that being selfless is the goal because it literally blocks us from doing anything that is for us. And so I think that, you know, we, as part of that process of like, I'm looking after myself, I'm doing the things that feed me, I'm doing the things that nourish and nurture me, there has to be an acknowledgement that that is like good and okay, and that we're not aiming for selflessness. And I think that that's an important part of, you know, the process of almost making that decision to do things for ourselves that feel good. So I think that, you know, there's a script flipping here to be looking at, like, how does being selfless actually make us feel? And is that what we want? And then, you know, having that conversation with ourselves about, like, that doesn't hold true for me. Being selfless is not something that I want to aspire to. I think that, you know, the yoga world, the movement world is a really awesome place to practice this. And so I sort of wrote myself a few notes before I started, because I know that when I'm passionate about something, I tend to get a little bit jumbled. 'cause I want all the words to come out at one time. But one of the things that, like, I wrote myself a little heading that says, like, what do we do? What do we, like, what is the answer? And, you know, I don't think that there's ever any black and white answers, just like there's no, you know, black and white ways to look at anything. There's no all or nothing. There's no zero to 100. But practicing small, I think, is really important. Sometimes when we're faced with this sort of like belief that has been handed down to us over generations, ultimately, it's a pretty big thing to just be like, well, nah, don't believe it. So how do we practice small? Movement is one of those places where we can practice being self-kind and responsive to our needs, of saying, like, right now, you know, use the word, maybe don't use the word selfish if it makes you feel something. I definitely have a negative relationship with that word. So I try to choose something else, but like, this is my time. Like, no, I'm not here to, I'm not actually here to deal with anybody else's needs right now. This is my time. And practicing, that self-kindness, that responsiveness in the moment. One thing I will say to that, I don't know exactly who listens to this podcast. Obviously, you don't have to log your details. But for anyone listening who's like, well, how do I carve out that time for me when I've got kids and pets and all of that? You know, I'm in close quarters with my whole family and everybody's home. I think that sometimes being selfless, let's just, you know, use this as an example. If we were being selfless, then maybe we would still say, yes, I'm going to go do this yoga practice. But at the first sign of somebody needing something from us, we wouldn't just like hit pause or say, you're going to need to wait, or ask somebody else to help us. We would just kind of be like, oh, well, look at that. I can't ever have time for myself, so I'm just going to go and deal with this. I think that it's, you know, we have to also realize that sometimes our needs are going to be called upon, right? Like, sometimes the kids are going to need us for something. Often they can wait though, but you know, sometimes there might be something that we need to deal with. But you can still be self-focused in the midst of that. You know, like, it's not unusual for my kids to come into the room when I'm doing my movement or my workout. And as they've gotten older, it's gotten easier to just be like, that's fine, you can be here, but I'm actually not here to help you with things right now. This is literally me doing the things that are going to make me feel good. And so I think it's a really interesting space to practice in, because you can practice small for like 5 minutes, right? Like, lie on the floor and roll around for 5 minutes. But it helps us to start to dip into this idea of being self-kind, of being responsive to what we notice about our needs, of actually getting clear on the way that we want to feel. It helps us to like get out of our shoulds and our have to's and kind of question those as well, and just get curious, explore. It's kind of like this really safe space to just be in this place of noticing and practicing and being okay with the fact that it's practice. It's, you know, trial and error. It's just figuring it out as we go. But I really would invite you this week, or whenever it is that you're listening to this, to, you know, just question this idea of selflessness. You've probably seen it too. Facebook posts, Instagram posts, whenever somebody is like praising a partner or a mother or, you know, anyone really, it comes out as this like, thank you so much for being selfless, for being this, for being that. Please, like, is that really the compliment we want? I really don't. If anybody describes me as selfless, I honestly will take that as an indication that I'm not. I'm doing something, I don't want to use the word wrong, but I'm doing something that doesn't support me to be at my best. You know, I've done the miserable thing. I've been miserable in my body. I've been miserable. And, you know, I still have days where I feel miserable, of course. This is not like a magic bullet into always feeling fantastic and there being sunshine and rainbows everywhere. 100% not. Nothing that I share is ever about reaching some pinnacle of like, you're untouchable to life. Of course not. But selflessness will hold us back from even being able to explore what it means to being self-kind and responsive, because everybody else's needs are endless. They're endless. And if we're on the lookout for how we can be selfless, we will find so many ways. So many ways, because everybody's willing to be helped. You know, well, not everybody's willing to be helped, but you know what I mean? Like there are so many things that we can put our attention on. There are so many causes. There are so many good things in the world that we can put our attention on. But all of those things that we can do for other people and other organizations and other causes, they are done with more grace and skill and pleasure and capacity when we have made it kind of like our commitment to look after ourselves first. So, some food for thought. I would love to know what you think about this idea. I've been talking about it a lot over the last couple of weeks since Mother's Day because it really, like, it made me a bit mad. I'm not going to lie. It made me a little bit mad. It got me a little bit fired up because, you know, we are as a people just so exhausted, right? Like there is so much exhaustion, so much running around, so much trying to be everything and do everything. And when we're then told that, yeah, keep striving for that, keep striving to be selfless, keep striving to be perfect. God, it's exhausting. Like it doesn't give us any space. It doesn't give us any freedom to, you know, choose a different way. So your invitation this week to, you know, just think about how that maybe applies in your life. As I said, I've spent a lot of time being selfless and I'm done with that. I like to think that I'm still a really helpful person and a kind person, obviously, to other people. But I honestly, I'm so much better at helping other people now than I ever was before, because now I can do it from a place of, you know, making the choice to do it, and doing it from a place where I feel more topped up. And also knowing that when I, like this week, I have not felt topped up. I felt really, really tired this week. And, you know, I think also realizing that there are like seasons to our ability to help. There are times where, like, once we start to really understand how we want to feel and we start to move in that direction and we start to support ourselves with things that help us to feel that way, we also get better at knowing when we're not kind of feeling the way that we want to feel and where maybe we're at capacity, like where we don't have more space to take on more things for more people. And that is a really powerful place to be able to say, well, no, actually, it's okay to say no. My mum used to always say no is a full sentence. And, you know, we don't owe explanations to anyone necessarily about why we need to say no sometimes. It's enough that, you know, we just don't have the capacity, the headspace, even the desire at the time, right? So, yeah, I'm going to leave it there because these episodes by myself are supposed to be short and the last two have been kind of long. So I'm going to leave you with that thought. But please do come and share with me over on Instagram. You can just DM me there or send me an email. I'm Erica at ericawebyoga.com.au. I would really love to know how, you know, this lands for you. I'd love to know what you think, if it's given you food for thought or if you disagree. You know, I'd love to hear that too. You don't have to agree with me. I would just love to know, you know, what it makes you think of, and that would be ace if you'd be willing to share. So as I mentioned at the very, very start of this episode, in-person workshop coming up if you are listening to this not too long after it lands. Details are in the show notes. If you have the time, I would so deeply appreciate you taking just a couple of minutes to head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a rating and review. It really does make a difference. Thank you again for being here, for listening. I am pretty stoked to be at episode 101. That's a pretty cool thing. So thank you, and I will talk to you again next week. Bye. Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of the Movement and Mindfulness Podcast. I hope you loved it. And if you did, maybe share it with a friend who would love it too. And I'd also be so grateful if you'd take the time to subscribe, rate, and review the show. It makes such a difference to get that feedback.
And if you're over on social media, why not come and find me? You'll find me at Erica Webb Yoga on both Instagram and Facebook. And over on my website, you'll find access to some free resources, including free classes that will help you to move well, feel well, and most importantly, move with kindness. Over there, you'll also find more information about joining me inside the Mindful Movement Virtual Studio, which is my home of kind movement, yoga, Pilates, and somatics to help you move well, feel well, and all with kindness. Until next time, I hope you're having a great day. I'll talk to you again soon.